a crowd.
I have to get a bigger computer.
He's such a cool guy.
Yeah, I'm such a cool guy. Well, good. I'm glad somebody thinks so.
I wanted to share you with them because you've got such. Look, the reality is not everybody brings to the table the right stuff, and you bring the right stuff. So you get a lot out of the program, and I think it's important for them as coaches to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, and you're the good.
I'm having dreams about this now, Rob, so I'm not sure what that says, but I'm dreaming about it literally. So it's, 24/7 at this point.
I dream about weird things. It's so crazy. okay. So what's on your mind other than the dreams? Maybe they are what's on your mind.
No. And the dreams have actually been pretty good because you get, sometimes it just becomes so clear. You know, you have these aha moments. You know, we've discussed this thing. I mean, not you and me, but I mean, throughout my career, you always talk about these aha moments when you realize that, oh gosh, had I been doing this, or this is how this ties together, or whatever. And so yeah, I've been having a lot of those recently, but
that's good.
I had a good call with Cindy yesterday.
Good.
Very detailed on the scheduling tool. And so that was good. And so I'm working on teaching it to my wife, and we've got a computer set up at home. So I think we'll get all this with the scheduling tool worked out together. Cindy was very helpful. Spent almost an hour with me. So,
well, give me some feedback. Let me know. Work with her because we don't want it to be, you know, if I need to spend some more money to make it better, I'm willing to do that. I don't get a lot of feedback, and I think what ends up happening is people do workarounds. When something doesn't work for them, they tend to, you know, well, we just do this with it. And I'm like, well, it's not supposed to be hard. You know, it's supposed to be easier.
Right. And,
you know, just doing it yourself. So make sure you're, you keep me in the loop on this.
Okay. I definitely will.
Yeah.
For sure. But I told Cindy, I said, well, listen, I'm going to tell Rob that I'm about 2 weeks behind. Do you think you'll still want to talk to me? And so she said, Derek, just remember, this is why we do this over a year. Okay. So,
you know, Cindy has become, Cindy drove the carpool with my wife, and she was, kind of an executive with, one of these outdoor, programs to bring in rock stars to the community.
Oh, nice.
That's what her husband did, and she worked for them. So, you know, her knowledge of what we did was zero. So she's an artist and a photographer, and you know, so she brings a completely different mindset to the program, and it's taken me a lot of years to have her understand business, and now she's just ruthless. Mm-hmm. She's just brutal when it comes to expenses, and in the beginning it was just like, you know, let's do this, you know, let's do that. And now she's just like, no, we can't do that.
She's very knowledgeable. She's very good. So I was very appreciative. So
she's become kind of a computer expert, and it's been fun. You know, at some point, in fact, this whole thing has not been financially a rational reason. It just never was important. It never really has been a big financial experience. It's been more of a fun experience owning your own business, helping people. You know, I kept it going for a few years just to keep Cindy employed.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's how weird I am.
No, I'm glad.
Cindy and Lori, they were not always in good times, And so it's been, you do things for a lot of weird reasons. And in the end, I do this because of you. That sounds weird too, but I do it because, I get energy from you and I get energy from people that are successful with the program. And because of your aha moments, I keep going.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. You're sort of my life into sanity right now. So
I feed off of it. It never gets old, So that part is really fun. Mm-hmm. And, maybe these guys that I'm bringing on here can turn it into a real business, but.
Yeah, listen, no, I think it's a part of just instilling the vision, in people. I mean, and it's amazing how many things we do that are just not 100% focused on our business. I mean, this is a great way to refocus.
Yeah. No, it's coaching is very important. Having a coach is very important. You can, we talked about the power of full engagement last week and, how important those things are. I just got off a call with an FA that's starting a mastermind group with his friends around tennis. Now the two friends, one happens to be a CEO of a biotechnology company and the other one is a headhunter recruiter for CEOs of biotechnology companies. So this was long time in the making of me teaching him how to think about an industry group that was a gold mine, right? Yeah, there's Marcia. Thank you very much.
No, hey, Rob, ball. That's like clockwork. Marcia brings that in, I think, every time, about the same time.
She thinks I'm working.
Well, what she doesn't know, that's okay.
I keep the charade going. She thinks I'm still an executive. I'm still bringing in money,
Oh, that's great.
We gotta keep our roles and responsibilities even at this stage.
Yeah, that's fun.
Uh-oh, she can hear me. She heard
me. She can hear.
Right.
That's what closed doors will get you.
I know. That door is supposed to be thicker than that.
That's right.
Anyway, so, they're going to create a mastermind group. This is a guy with huge energy. He's a terrific FA. And I called him to interview him for my book, for my second book. And he said, oh, I'm so glad you called. I brought in a new partner and I want to go through the whole program again. I put him through about 10 years before that. And so we put him through 12 weeks and then went to monthly. And now we just go every month. And he had me on the call with his mastermind group to explain to them what the mastermind group was about. And you know what their purpose is of the, I wanted them to come up with a purpose because they love each, they like each other and they want to talk and they get energy from each other. And I said, so what do you think is your purpose? I said, you got to come up with a purpose. You got to have, determine how often you want to meet, and then you bring a good idea to the session, and then you focus on each person, whether professionally or personally. And they liked that. And they said, okay, we'll figure out their purpose is to share their energy, to maintain their kind of brotherhood, which was a term that came out, and to make each other better by focusing on, all six areas of their life, not just business. They want to focus on proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet for their energy and the spirituality, meditation, and other things. So they're really pretty ethereal, you know, when it comes yeah. to what they want, which is what women do very well and why mastermind groups are created 3-to-1 by women versus men. And women are very open to this, and men are like, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. You know.
I have a strong tendency for that. No, no, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah, because we're like, you know, we don't cry. You know, we're strong. We take care of the family. I'm busy, you know. But in reality, men like it more. I think they like it more than women once they do it. Mm-hmm. So this is something that you'd be very good at. And you kind of want to think about it. So this will be... This is around tennis because they all have tennis in common, which is great. They're getting together for a week at down at Bay Colony in, I think in New Jersey, right? You guys know that, right?
No, it's in Delaware.
Delaware, yeah. Yeah. Delaware, right? And there's a tournament down there, a women's tournament. So they're a sponsor. And so he brings these guys down. But it's just a chance for them to get together and do this kind of start this mastermind group too. And so they've sponsored a charity up at Longwood Cricket Club in Boston and then Philadelphia Cricket Club. So they're, and this is a year long thing that I've been working on with him because he thinks little and I think big. And so I get him to think, you know, how many other CEOs are out there?
Yeah.
And if you're an expert on biotechnology and so forth. And I'm not sharing anything out of school. I mean, it's just, this is what we do, right? This is how you create mastermind groups. But I think that you'd be really good at this because you have your centers of influence already. You know how to make that work. What you want to do is, you want to ritualize these things that you do without thinking. All right. So what you want, and it's going to feel a little stilted for you in the beginning, but then you're going to say, you know, this is smart. Meaning you do it kind of spontaneously and you think that's sort of an advantage. It's not. Okay. It's sort of a disadvantage. So what you want to, we call it consciously competent versus unconsciously competent. So when you meet with your centers of influence, you have good results. They like you. They really want to meet with you more. And when you ritualize that, although it feels like it's stilted and too ritualized and too rigid, it isn't because they want to meet you and they want to be with you. And so what you want to do is schedule these things and you maintain the schedule. All they want to do is have somebody tell them what to do. Be truthfully, they don't want to do it. I've got a friend that organizes hiking trips around the world for his buddies. I'm one of his buddies. And what everybody loves is that we don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do anything. We just show up.
I'm with you. I get it.
And so what your friends want is for you to, they just want to show up. And you do everything. And then they'll love you for it. And they'll clap and tell you how wonderful you are, which we do every, we say, Tom Cross is the greatest trail boss in the world. And keep it up, Tom. See ya. And so he's the leader. We have no problem. You know, people say, I want to be the leader. Well, do you really? You know, people will let you be the leader if you want to lead, but you got to lead. So you've got to organize the mastermind group. You got to schedule it monthly. You got to have an agenda and you got to keep the energy up. And the fun thing is you can make it into a book club, you know, read Jim Lehrer's book, bring balance to your life.
Yeah, we just got that just showed up yesterday.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, he just wrote a book on character, which I was going to recommend that we read too. So you know, that you can do with your buddies, you know, your friends, but make, you know, also make sure that they're all going to be potential centers of influence. So it's really easy, and this thing, Zoom, makes it a piece of cake to do. It's going to generate business and productivity like I know it's doing it already. I mean, these numbers we're seeing coming across are not fake. This is increased productivity. Like people not wasting time in airports and traveling and being on the phone trying to get work done when they're traveling and spending, you know, Sunday night traveling versus being home. I mean, it's going to be a better world. So that's the acquisition piece. So what you want to do is build one of these folders like I have, you know. Don't use the excuse that you're not in the office or, you know, you don't have this or that. Don't listen to that. It's just make your folders up, give them to you, send them to your clients. Use, if you have to, you know, I don't have an assistant to do this garbage for me. I build my own folders and I keep them up. And so you can do that. So, you know, I'd like you to have your assistant do it, but you know what? If you need to build the folders and send them to your client.
That's what I've been doing so far. So.
Yeah. So have one for, you know, every center of influence. You give them a folder. There you go. You give them a folder. You have a folder and you have an agenda and you have a schedule and you send them a reminder and pick up the phone and do a Zoom, or you pick up the phone and call them, or you meet them in person someday if we ever do that. But I think you're going to be fabulous at this, and the ritualization of it. I went through with these guys and tested them the last time on the 5 steps for developing a new center of influence. So you want to bother going through those 5 steps. Okay. Do you remember those, Derek?
I do. I've got them written down right here.
Okay. And the concept is very simple. You cannot really have an effective relationship unless you commit to understanding what it is that that person wants and who they are. You need to get to know them. And can you tell me what their minimum charges, what their average size client is, what their specialty is, what they want, how many clients they have, how many can they afford to have, what's their plan if they grow bigger, are they bringing in other partners, what are they going to do, what's their biggest challenges, what are their problems? Those are the things you want to ask. You want to say, okay, now you've told me all the good stuff. What are the things that are most challenging for you? You know, what are your problems? What's your capacity like? What's your having trouble finding people? What are your issues that you're dealing with? And then they open up and all of a sudden you're having a real conversation. Everybody wants you to go out and develop centers of influence, but they don't tell you exactly how to do it. Mm-hmm. We try and tell you exactly how to do it. But it starts with keeping in mind you want to develop a friendship. Mm-hmm. And then the mastermind group is sort of an outcropping of the best of your centers of influence. And you can have a niche mastermind group around a particular target niche that you're after. So in the case of, let's say, this client I have in Philadelphia, if he wants to develop his niche is biotechnology companies, then, you know, his first person, the CEO of a biotechnology company, would not be in that mastermind group. It would be people like Clark, who is a consultant to that group. He finds CEOs. He's a headhunter. Mm-hmm. He'd be the first member. It'd be people that serve that group, people that, like you, that want to work with that group, all right, but serve that group. So it could be a CPA that handles CEOs of biotechnology companies. It could be lawyers. It could be realtors that, you know, commercial realtors that sell buildings to and specialize in building for them. So that's, you know, just a little example. Questions on chapter 5?
I don't think I've got any right now, Rob. I was thinking about as you were talking. One of the things this has enabled me to do is when I am talking with, you know, sometimes having these routine conversations with an attorney or CPA, I can bridge the gap, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe this guy could be a potential center of influence. I've known him for, you know, 15 years. And so I've started getting into that conversation. So now you're right, because you hit the nail on the head when you said spontaneous, because I can be spontaneous. And then, so now it's taking it to the next level and going, oh, okay, now we're serious. You know, how do we link these two up? And, and also I've had good feedback from even the meetings that I've had where they're wanting to have, you know, they're talking about the next conversation. When are we going to have the next conversation? So I've got a good start. I've got to take the ball and run with it. On a few of them for sure. So.
Yeah, you can't make yourself crazy. So, you know, you're doing a lot of new things. This is not just a tweak of your practice. This is really a complete makeover.
Yeah, well, we had that mastermind lunch yesterday because of this. So sometimes when I feel like I'm spinning my wheels, we're actually doing things. But this was the preacher, pastor, you know, that's my buddy. He had the dean of, and he was texting me because I was like, okay, remind me of the titles of these people. And I think that was coming in while we were talking. So it was the dean of student affairs and admissions. And then it's the dean of the entire, college here, the medical college. And then him, and we also got the director of the Chamber of Commerce, and we all went to lunch. So we weren't on a Zoom call, but we were all there together. But it was a lot of talking about leveraging, you know, the resources here in Columbus and how all this ties together from economic development to the, you know, the patient care. I mean, it was a lot. I mean, it involved churches, it involved investment, charitable giving. I mean, it was level one trauma centers. We were talking about everything. It was incredible. So, but we were there, we talked an hour and a half, and then everybody's like, oh my God, we got to go back to work. So, but it was fun. So I got the power of it for sure. But that was all about starting the idea and all of a sudden watching the idea come together. So not a Zoom call, but like I said, on a lunch, we were right there talking with each other.
So does your pastor want to make this thing an organization? I mean, it's kind of it's kind of a disparate group. I mean, they're all in but I guess their purpose is to improve the quality of life in Columbus, right?
Right. And so they each have these kind of different, they kind of have these different overlapping needs. And in order for the medical school to be effective, he's got to be able to reach out to all these doctors. And so they were kind of sharing ideas about how to connect, because he's got to have a very intimate relationship with all the teaching doctors here. So he's actually going to be practicing, which I didn't even know was possible, but he's a vascular surgeon. So he's going to practice. That's his strategy, to practice right alongside all these doctors so he can get to know them better. So he's not trying to set up lunch meetings and everything like that, which I thought that was really interesting. And he'll know firsthand all the facilities. And then Chamber of Commerce person, you know, it was the idea of how do you connect and what is this, you know, what does this do to bring a broader, more attractive footprint to Columbus, Georgia? I think, you know, everything sort of meshes together. So as far as the pastor, I'll follow up with him and see where he thinks this is going to go. with this group. And, but he's all in on this.
He'd do another mastermind group, wouldn't he?
He'll do unlimited. I mean, so that's what I was thinking about with the book is when I was, so I had it in the plastic. I'm driving to, we have coffee every Wednesday morning. We didn't have a chance to bring it up this morning, but he and I have never really done it. What happens is I'll read a book or he'll read a book and he'll either give me a copy and then I'll be expected to go read it on my own. But we've never read one together, is what I started thinking. We always did it at different times. But this is brand new, so I know he hadn't already seen it, right? So it's new. Some of them he's already read the books. But we could do some, when you said book club, this would be a great book club to discuss. And all of a sudden you're bringing in people with leadership, character, you know, and all that stuff together. And he's like the perfect guy to do that. He's also looking for a bridge right now with a little mastermind group that he's in with, like I told you, with all the pastors here locally. They're having a little bit of an issue in that when the Black Lives Matter and COVID was all going together at once. So they had started on COVID trying to figure it out. Then it kind of moved, shifted to Black Lives Matter and inclusiveness and things like that. And now their group is sort of, it's gone a whole different direction than what it was intentionally, you know, set up for. So I think this would give him a way to feel like he could kind of recenter, bring everybody back to a common purpose, because everybody's got different ways of approaching inclusiveness and different levels of solutions and personal guilt, you know, associated with it. So,
yeah,
it's interesting. It's gotten into a weird area for him right this second. So,
well,
so he didn't want to abandon the group, you know.
Right, right. I think what you want to do is, as far as, I think you want to try and make a difference rather than just including people. I think what you want to try and do is say, how are we going to economically help? I mean, that's the end. In the end, if you can help people economically, raise them up economically, and it isn't by giving them money. Mm-hmm. That's by teaching them to fish, right? You've got to teach people how to be more productive. Look at Cindy. Cindy goes from knowing nothing about business to being a pretty damn good business person and could run a business, right? So how do you teach people how to think? And then when you do it, how do you teach them to have character when they grew up without character? When they had no role model in their life that had any character? How do you teach them values? You know, the Jesuits, ladies and gentlemen for others. Well, it's not just, you know, men and women for others. It's ladies and, how do you teach people to be ladies and gentlemen? How do you teach people to honor others? I mean, these are, how do you teach values to people when you're not preaching to them, right? Mm-hmm. You gotta mentor them. It takes time and you gotta do it one at a time. So you gotta kind of take these people and commit that you're going to make a difference one at a time in a community by lifting people up and teaching them how to be good citizens, how to give back, how to become wealthy and then give back and help and not steal, you know, not screw other people, and not, you know, eliminate the greed. So I think this, you know, I've been trying to figure out why character, you know, how could Jim Lehrer write a book about character? I'm like, it's just character, right? You live your whole life building your character and you can lose it in 5 minutes. That's not a book. So I'm really curious what he's writing about that. But this concept, then I started to think about it with people like my son just bought a house to an Airbnb from these people and it all seemed really good. And they said, oh, we're going to leave everything. Well, it turns out that they went in and didn't leave everything. You know, they basically stole crap out of the house after they said they were going to leave it. And it wasn't, you know, it couldn't all be worth 10 grand of what they stole. But somebody just didn't think that was wrong. They just, in their mind, they thought, well, we'll substitute this for painting for this one that we had on the wall, and we'll just move this piece of old crappy furniture in and take our good piece of furniture out, and then we'll just steal things. And the good thing is my son videotaped the entire house, including the basement and everything else.
Wow.
So they're calling him on it. But my question is, what would make a person do that? And it's lack of character, and it isn't color related. It's human beings. And we, unless we're taught character, we don't know right from wrong, and we don't know character. And I think your mission is to lift people up, but to teach them character and values and right from wrong, and not to sacrifice the most important thing, which is their character, for the sake of $10,000. You know, there's got to be a switch that goes off and say, whoops, this is wrong. I mean, you had that switch. You guys all had that switch. You live 70 years or 75 years and figure, you know, you screwed up along the way, but you never did anything wrong enough that it violated your character, right? So somehow your parents and your religion or whatever kept you in line. And today, frankly, kids don't have religion anymore. You know, they've gone away. They said, we don't believe in religion. Well, then what do they have? What are they going to rely on? I watched a wedding over the weekend. I digress here, but I watched a wedding over the weekend in Zoom, and it was a pagan wedding, you know, which is fine. But, you know, what are those kids going to, what's their, I mean, the Bible is a set of values. And in there is a whole book about right from wrong. And we've lived that, the Judeo-Christian values, forever in this country. And there's a whole generation coming up where the Democratic Party takes, I'm sorry, but they take God out of everything. And now it's okay. It's okay now. But what are we substituting for it? Where's our book of values? What are we going to do? And so I think it's a mission from God.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with, I mean, I do believe that. We talk about that a lot. There is no leadership. There is no national voice for all that people listen to. You know, Billy Graham was the last spiritual, you know, sort of the, you know, the last real spiritual voice in the United States. You know, we don't have a strong African American leader right now. We don't.
That has values. And that party has abandoned the whole concept of values. Mm-hmm. And now it's just a matter of getting things.
Yeah, it's every man for himself, right?
Every man for himself and everything. We're going to give you more, so you vote for us, and then we will control you.
Yeah, anything goes. Yeah.
So when you're thinking to yourself, okay, what is it that we're going to do with this mastermind group? You know, you got a lot of opportunities, especially when you're thinking about the community and you're thinking about what are we going to really do for this diverse population that we have. I think if they have values and you come up through the church and you go from there and then teach them capitalism and give them opportunities, I think you can really, you can make a difference in your community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that has nothing to do with getting organized with Supernova, but I think it has a lot to do with what are we going to do really when we're when we're talking about with our friends and our and the Chamber of Commerce people and your pastor, and oh my God, you can make a difference. So what's the takeaway?
It links whenever you said purpose. I mean, that's why anybody would do any of this. You have to have a purpose.
You've got to have a purpose. What I worry about with my friend, he's a very spiritual guy. But I think it's, you know, he's hosting them at the one in Boston at Longwood Cricket Club's about raising money for kids, right? And people can get into that. But the one in Philadelphia is just about him entertaining clients. I don't think it's a big enough. I don't think that would be great and people want to go. But people will go with a purpose if they think they're going to change Philadelphia, right? We're going to raise money for these kids and we're going to make a difference. So I think whatever you do in the end, you want to do with a bigger purpose in mind where you're not, they're not coming to see you and you're not thanking them for the business. What you're doing is you're making a difference in your community and raising up, and you're asking them to give more, right? Asking them to contribute more. Because it's really easy to write a check. It's really hard to make a difference. So people are like, sure, here. I don't take the money. I don't want to work.
No, I've got a bunch. I get it.
Right. And that's okay because you need their money. Mm-hmm. Right? So you got to pay for people to do stuff. Anyway.
That's good.
So I don't think when you're looking at your mastermind group, it doesn't have to be just about around people that are selling their businesses. Yeah, that's a simple one, right? Create a mastermind group of CPA, attorney, lawyer around people that are selling their businesses. You should do that. That should be something that you do in your community. There shouldn't be a business that's ever sold in your community that you don't know about and somebody doesn't refer to you. Because you've got a small enough town and you can own that piece. So that should be a have to. But you can have more important things than that that you're doing. And you can lead. And it's really not that hard to lead because nobody wants to do it. Like my friend, nobody wants to be trail boss.
Yeah. You know, we've got a group, our fraternity. That's what I was just thinking about. These are guys that are character-based guys, and we have not done a good job staying, you know, close. Because we had our pledge class before us, our pledge class, and the one after us. We were all super close in college. And then afterwards, we stayed connected for a little while, but then we all kind of went our separate ways. But I did notice in some of this, we started to reconnect, especially with LinkedIn. You know, when we started redoing LinkedIn, I kind of reconnected with several of them. So that's what made me think today is I need to go back, and because it's been about a month, I need to reach back out to those guys because they're great guys. They're the best guys you could ever come across. I mean, you know.
And you could do something like what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You could mentor a diverse population coming into your university, provide scholarships, and guide them out into your business or businesses that would be like your business. And what I find is that unless we do it, they do not see it as a possibility. They understand you can be a doctor and a lawyer and a CPA. They do not know how to become a financial advisor. They do not know how to do things. They do not know how to start a business. They do not know how to join a business. They're lost because there's no one in their community that's mentoring them or running a business. You know, they're working for people. and I'm making a gross generality, but in reality, you know, think about how you got your jobs in the summer. You know, I got my jobs because my dad would say, hey, this is what, I'll get you a job. Come and work in the factory. Wanted to torture me and make me believe that I never wanted to be an hourly worker. Right. So he made that clear. And then, oh, I've got a construction job for you now. That's even more fun. You're going to carry bricks up on the roof. And that's going to be, you know, then you're going to take down walls of cement walls with a jackhammer that you hold up here. 8 hours a day. And I ran to college, right? I didn't walk. I ran.
Yeah.
That's because I had a crazy, you know, I had this very smart dad who was a plant manager and knew what a college degree meant and versus factory worker. So that's what we, to me, that's what we have to do. What if we really all did it? Just each take one, you know, just each take one. And
can you hold on just a second? Are you going to stick around for just a second? Okay. There we go. Yeah. Then just a minute. Okay.
So
one of our assistants who just had a baby who is not going to be here till the end of the year. She just showed up at my door. So I'm going to,
wow.
It's like seeing an angel from heaven walking in here. So yeah, like great.
Wonderful. See? Good things happen when you try and think about other people.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
All right, Derek. Hey, great talking with you. I know I got kind of carried away here, but I think what this is called is brainstorming. And that's what you can do with your group, your mastermind group. You can sit around and do this. So my suggestion is probably brainstorm with your different groups and come up, let them come up with their purpose. Don't you come in and tell them what their purpose is. You can guide them in a direction.
Well, you know what? It struck me too. Whenever, so these are all, I write down these ideas that are coming up, but I've got several young adults, you know, cause my kids are all graduating college and that kind of stuff, but they're all trying to get started. And I've got, and I do these on a regular basis. And they're usually children of clients that are trying to figure out what to do next, right? And so I meet with them. They have a good experience, but I can connect all of those kids. I just need to go back now and think of who they were. And so like, okay, well, you know, you need to talk to this kid, and I can provide some sort of an outlet to them to keep them involved. Their parents would appreciate it, and they're all, like I said, they're all, virtually all of them are clients. So anyway, that's another whole nother idea. And that's something that does, you do get energy from it. I get energy from talking to some of these young kids, you know, and they're,
sure,
especially the ones that get all excited. And then they go back to their parents like, oh my gosh, I'm going to change the world now, you know. So it's fun. Okay, great. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Care,
and I'm available if y'all need me. Let me know. Okay. But yeah. But Rob, I may start sending you some emails during the week or whatever. I know that might be tough, but
no, that's fine.
I just reach out to you maybe on a couple as they come up, little issues.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. And if you want me to be on a Zoom call sometime with your guys, you know, to talk about what, you know, what is a mastermind group and why you want to do it.
I would love it.
I just did it as an audio call, but I think video Zoom calls are even more fun.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take you up on that for sure.
Okay, yeah.
All right, guys. Andy, good to see you.
Yeah, you too, Derek. Be well.
You'll take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.